90 years young. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're glad you're with us. We're glad you're with us if you're online. Amen. Good to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to get into the Word of God and see some good things. Are you ready? Amen. Now say this. Say, somebody's not hard-hearted. Now say it with some conviction. Say, somebody's not hard-hearted. Because they tell me the truth. Aha. Glory to God. We're going to hold you to that. Praise God. So let's begin this morning in Luke chapter 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke, the 6th chapter. If you've been with us, we've been on a series that we're entitling How to Experience God's Best. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So God wants us Jesus died on the cross so that we could experience God's best, so that we could be saved to the uttermost, saved, made whole spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, in our relationships, in our marriages, and in every way, glory to God. And God wants to bless us so that we will be a blessing to others. Praise God. How many of you want to be a blessing to others? Glory to God. That's what drives me. Praise God. So we're talking about how to experience God's best, so that you yourself will receive God's best, which is God's will for you, period, and so that you will be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And so what we're doing is we're looking at 12 different ways based on different scriptural injunctions, different scriptural principles, and even different commands from the Word of God to experience God's best. And this is actually part 12, so we're not going to try to cover all of those things. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at number 11 on our list, number 11 on our list of how to experience God's best. And number 11 on our list is this: be a doer of the Word. Praise God. Everybody say that. Say, you must be a doer of the Word. And in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse number 47, it's also found in Matthew's gospel, but we'll read it this morning from Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 6, just getting started, in Luke chapter 6, verse number 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, yeah, you got to hear them and does them. You can't do them unless you first hear them. But Jesus said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. If you don't want to be shaken in your marriage, if you don't want to be shaken in your finances, if you don't want to be shaken in your health, if you don't want to be shaken in life, then be a doer of the word that you hear. For it was founded on the rock. Well, Jesus is the rock, but really in this passage here, he's not really saying that Jesus is the rock. Jesus is saying if you're a doer of the word you hear, then your house is founded upon the rock, and your house will withstand the tests and trials and tribulations and storms of life that you face. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing. Matthew's account says it this way, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. This one says who did nothing, but Matthew says and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So verse 49 again, Luke's gospel, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth, on the sand, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and the storm came. Amen. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Notice, if you're not a doer of the word, the ruin of that house was great. In other words, you will not withstand the storms of life, the test of life, the trials of life. Matthew's gospel says, and great was its fall. Luke says, and the ruin of that house was great. You know probably that James 1:22, and this is from the New Living Translation, says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And then James 1:25, that's really a little blind to us. I'll read it. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. But you got to understand, the work that he's talking about is being a doer of the word. A doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. But let me break that down to you in the Greek. What it actually says is, an active doer of the word will be blessed. If you are a doer of the word, see, an active doer of the word. See, and He is a doer of the word. The doer of the word, bottom line, is blessed. And John Wesley said there are two things you can do with the Bible. You can believe it and behave it. That's good, isn't it? Two things to do with the Bible. Believe it and behave it. So the doer of the word is blessed. Now I know that in our circles, people have heard teachings on, you know, faith without corresponding actions is dead, and that you must be a doer of the word, praise God. But just because you know the importance of being a doer of the word doesn't mean you actually do the word. Amen. And there will be many, many people that will spend all eternity in hell that really believed and knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They agreed with that. You know, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They agree that He's Lord. They know that He's Lord, but they never repented and actually took Him as their own personal Lord and Savior. Likewise, there are people in the body of Christ that agree with the Word. Sometimes they even shout about the Word. They even know that you're supposed to be a doer of the Word and behave in certain ways, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are doers of the Word. So we realize that. Glory to God. And notice the previous verse here, and we just read in Luke's Gospel, Luke 6, 47 through 49, where Jesus talked about being a hearer and doer, but this starts out actually in verse number 46. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? Amen. And so, if someone knows and understands that they should do something according to the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, and they don't do it, then Jesus is not their Lord, at least not in that area. Amen. He may be their Savior, and they're still on their way to heaven, but in that area, they are in a place where they can be shaken and ruined and where they can be defeated and where they can fall. Are you listening to me? Praise God. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who intends to do what's right and somebody that wants to do what's right and trips over their flesh excuse me, and sins and makes a mistake. We all do that. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who ignores God's Word. They know what God's Word says, but they just let it go in one ear and out the other. They ignore it. They reject it. They disregard it. And the person who really doesn't intend to try to obey it in certain areas of their life. Somebody said that Christianity is like the hokey pokey. Sooner or later, you're going to have to learn that you have to throw your whole self in. Amen. And I tell you, it just works better when you just throw your whole self in. And when believers act on the Word in faith, act in faith, when they act in faith and obedience, then they are blessed. Praise God. But like I said, people in our circles know that. They know they should be doers of the Word. Glory to God. So I want to take a different approach this morning. I want to talk about why some Christian is not a doer of the Word in a particular area or just in general. Why is it that a Christian is not a doer of the Word? I mean, when it comes to us, as a believer, we take this approach. Here's a sinner. They hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They realize that Jesus is the Son of God. They realize that He did die on the cross. They believe that He was raised from the dead, and that if a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved, and they'll miss hell and make heaven, and they'll enjoy the abundant life that God has promised them. Glory to God, and God just wants to move in and do wonderful things for their life. But yet they do not accept Him as their Lord and Savior. They do not, you know, they just walk away. And so as a believer, we're going, geez, I mean, why? Why would you do that? How many of you follow what I'm saying? Likewise, here's a believer, they're already saved, and they know that God's Word is the truth. They believe it's the truth. They agree with it. And they know if they do what God's Word says, even if their flesh wants to do something else, if they go God's way, they'll be blessed because of it. If they go the flesh's way and the devil's way, it'll bring ruin and destruction to their life. Nonetheless, they ignore what God says and just go out and do their own thing. Is there any difference? No difference whatsoever. So here's what we're going to do. First of all, I'm going to read you from some scriptures out of Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read from the Amplified Bible, the New Amplified Bible. You're probably not carrying around the New Amplified Bible with you. We're going to put it on the overhead because I'm going to read, you know, seven or eight scriptures so that you can follow it with us in a moment, beginning in Matthew 7, verse number 13. But and I want you to realize that what Jesus is talking about here, this is found in the Bible in Ezekiel, is found in Jeremiah, is found in Isaiah, is found in the book of Acts, is found in the book of Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record what Jesus said along these lines. So, you know, this is kind of a big deal. Everybody say it's a big deal. So Matthew chapter 13, you can follow along in your Bible if you wish, but that, like I said, they'll put it up on the Amplified Bible for you. Matthew 13, verses 10, beginning with verse number 10, it says, now listen carefully and follow along. Then the disciples came to him, that is to Jesus, and asked, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? Jesus replied to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Now watch this, verse 12. For whoever has what? Amplified Bible puts in, you know, parentheses, spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word. Whoever has spiritual wisdom because he is receptive to God's word, to him more will be given and he will be richly and abundantly supplied. But whoever does not have spiritual wisdom because he has devalued God's word, in other words, he doesn't honor God's word, they don't esteem God's word, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now we're going to read some more in Matthew in a moment, but let me, Mark 4:24 put it this way, then he said to them, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured back, you know, given, it should be given back. In other words, when you hear with an open heart, a receptive heart, you value God's word, then you're going to get more. He says, for whoever has what? Ears that hear. Ears that really hear. Whoever has ears that hear, to him will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So in context, he's talking about ears that hear. Ears that hear the word because they put themselves in a position to hear it, and when they hear it, they receive it. They welcome it. They accept it. They honor it. And then they, bottom line, the whole purpose of hearing it is so that you will go out and be a doer of the word, so that you will believe it and act on it and obey it and do it. And when we have ears to hear, more will be given to us. More revelation, more light, more revelation will come. But whoever does not have ears that hear, even what he has will be taken away from him. And so let's read on here in Matthew 10 from the Amplified Bible, beginning with verse number 13 now. Verse number 13. This is the reason, he said, amen, Matthew 10, 13. That is not Matthew 10, 13 at all. Where were we just at a while ago, verse number 12? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my mistake. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 13. Here we go, because I want you to be able to follow along with me. Matthew 13, 13. All right, here we go. He just talked about people who were not receptive to God's word, who devalued God's words. Verse 13, this is the reason I speak to the crowd in parables, because while, now watch this, having the power of seeing, so they have the power to see, having the ability, the power of seeing, they do not see. And while having the power of hearing, they do not hear. Nor do they understand and grasp spiritual things. They don't understand it not because God's withholding it from them. It's because they don't honor the word. They don't esteem the word. They have the power to hear it and receive it, but they don't. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will hear and keep on hearing, but never understand. You will look and keep on looking, but never comprehend. For this nation's heart has grown hard, and with their ears they hardly hear. And they, not God, they have tightly closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn to me and I would heal them. A better translation there would be, I would make them whole, spirit, soul, and body. Can you say amen? So with that background, here are three reasons Christians are not doers of the word. Why isn't a Christian a doer of the word? Three reasons. These aren't the only three reasons, just the three reasons I felt particularly impressed to share with you this morning. Number one, they don't diligently seek to hear the word. They don't diligently seek to hear the word. In other words, they don't put themselves in a position to hear the word. There's people this morning haven't put themselves in a position to hear the word that could be, but they don't. Amen. And you see, you cannot obey and act on God's word if you don't know what it says. You must hear the word before you can be a doer of the word. But sometimes people are not hearing the word because they're not hungry for it. They're not thirsty for it. They're not trying to hear it. They're not listening to it. So you can't act on what you don't know about. And so because of those reasons, they fall right into this category of having ears to hear but not hearing. Number one, they're not open and receptive to what God's word. Or number two, they don't hunger and thirst enough to know what God's word says. It's interesting that Mark 4:24 says, take heed what you hear. Everybody say what? What? Take heed to what you hear. But then in Luke 8:18, he says, take heed how you hear. Take heed to what you hear. And then take heed to how. Make sure you're listening to the right thing and then pay attention to it carefully. See, take heed means pay attention carefully. Listen to this carefully. Take care to make sure you're really getting it. So some people are not doers of the word because they really don't much make an effort to put themselves in a position to hear it, so they don't even know what it actually says, and you can't act on it if you don't know what it says. Or they kind of hear it, but they don't. It just goes in one ear and out the other, and you know. And then number two, and this is very closely connected and related to number one. Number two, some don't honor and reverence the Lord and His word as they should. Some people are not doers of the word because, number two, they don't honor and reverence the Lord and His word as they should. Glory to God. Matthew 13:19, the New King James says this, Matthew 13:19. Glory to God. You out there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew, let's go ahead and look at that. Not get ahead of ourselves here. Matthew 13:19. Back up to verse 18. Jesus said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed, which is the word of God, by the wayside. So number one is people that they're not even in a position to hear the word. If they hear it, you know, they don't really hear it at all. But this says, you know, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Very interesting here. Does not understand it doesn't just mean you don't comprehend what's being said, because that's the way it comes across. But that is not what this Greek word means. In other words, you hear it, but they just don't comprehend it. You don't understand it. No. In the Greek, this word very clearly means you hear it, but they're just not that interested in what it says. So it's not that they don't hear it. They hear it, but it goes in one ear and out the other. Amen. They hear it. They know what it says. They may even agree with it. Heck, they may shout about it. They may go, that's right, that's right, that's right. But the Greek word means they don't take it to heart. They don't take it seriously. The problem is they don't esteem the Word of God. They don't honor the Word of God. They don't reverence it. You know, God says, I will honor those who honor me. I'll esteem those who esteem me. So they don't see and understand it's best and right for them. So they know what the Bible says, and they say they will agree with it. Glory to God, but they're not moved to act on it. Doesn't make any difference in their life. They hear it, they agree with it, they understand it in the sense that they comprehend it, but they don't take it to heart, it doesn't make any difference in the way they live, in the way they talk, in the way they act, or in their attitudes, or in their faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So they ignore it because it interferes with what they think. It interferes with the lifestyle they want to live. You know, Margaret and I were counseling a man one time, and this guy's very likable. I mean, he had moved and back and forth, but over a period of years, he had come to this church a lot. And I mean, he loved the word. You know, he was a Christian. He's on his way to heaven. He's a good guy, a good old boy, as we say. And he certainly knew all the word of faith jargon. Amen. And he knew what the word said. He agreed with the word. But bottom line, Not in every area, but in a lot of areas concerning his family, concerning his children, concerning his marriage, his commitment to the Lord and his general lifestyle. And he'd sit there with a pleasant smile on his face and he'd go, yeah, I know. I agree with that. I know that's right. I know that's right. I know that's right. But you know, and then he'd tell us why he wasn't doing it. And so he agreed with the word. He heard the word. He understood the word. But he wasn't obeying it in a lot of ways. Amen. And he'd just try to charmingly avoid being a doer of the word. You know what's very interesting about the word charming if you look it up? The word charming very much carries this connotation. It's with a smile and a very playful, humorous, pleasant, disarming way, somebody that is charming. One of the connotations is you in a playful, charming, disarming way, relieve yourself of all responsibility. You know, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? In other words, you very disarmingly and charmingly excuse your lack of character or lack of responsibility. Amen. And so he would kind of do that. So we weren't, you know, we weren't really breaking through to him. He was a friend of ours. We weren't breaking through with him at all. And so Margaret finally told him, he said, you know, you remind me of the guy sitting at the bar stool crying in his beer. He's just sitting there at the bar drinking beer and going, oh, I know I'm not right. I know I'm not right with the Lord. I know I ought to do better. I know I ought to take care of my family. I know I ought to be at home spending time with my kids. I know I should live right. I know I should make my life light with the Lord. But you just keep there sitting drinking in your beer and talking about it and crying about it and don't change anything at all. And you know, that kind of shook him up. Somehow or another, that kind of broke through and got to him a little bit. And he straightened up at least a little bit for a little while. He was motivated to do a little better. Over the years, I've seen people. And I've seen a whole lot of people that love God and Jesus is their Lord. They're not perfect, but they love the Lord. And sometimes they make mistakes, but they ask God to forgive them. And they are doers of the word and thank God for that. But over the years, I've seen some people who know the word, they agree with it, they even like it when we preach what they consider to be the deeper truths. Oh boy, he's getting into some of that deeper stuff. Why don't you go home and quit smoking marijuana all week long? Dear God, you got to be kidding me. But they continue to just do their own thing and not to submit to God's word in their life. They refuse to marry the person they're living with. They regularly disobey him. And they're not addicted to alcohol. They're not addicted to drugs. They just do it because they like doing it. See, they're not even trying. What I'm saying is they're not even making an effort to quit. They're not going to some program to help them or do anything. They just live in sin. They have wrong attitudes. They cheat on the job. They have wrong attitudes toward their wife. They have wrong attitudes toward their boss. They have wrong attitudes, and they know they're wrong, but they just absolutely refuse to make any changes whatsoever. That's not being a doer of the word, is it? Praise God. Praise God. And please understand, please, please, please understand, I'm not talking about someone who's struggling to overcome some sin. They know it's wrong. They admit it's wrong, and they're working on it, and they're asking the Holy Spirit to help them, and they're seeking counsel, and they're trying to walk in victory, and they're looking to God for victory. I'm talking about somebody who continues to do things they know are wrong without much remorse or regret, seemingly whatsoever. You know, James 4:17 says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. That means if you do something and you know in your own heart that it's wrong, if you believe that it's wrong in your own heart, then if you go ahead and do it anyway, to you that's a sin. See, that's what he's talking about. If it's not from faith, that means believing God there. It means if it's not in line with the scriptures, the principles of the Christian faith, in other words. Praise God. So this person, and I've known more than a few, doesn't really intend to conform to some command or instruction or injunction or word from the Word of God because they don't reverence and honor the Lord and His Word enough. They don't act on the word, obey it, because it interferes with something they are not willing to give up. And the reason we don't, and if you're visiting, you don't know this, but the reason that we just don't harp on sins all the time is we're just telling people to live for the Lord and let the Holy Spirit straighten people out. Because what ought to happen is you get saved and you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you put your whole self in, glory to God, and you're walking along and all of a sudden the Lord shows you that some attitude is wrong and you go, yeah, Lord, you didn't even know it was wrong. But you grow a little bit in the Lord and get to a place where the Lord can show you some things and so you realize it. And so you become a doer, you make a change, you make a correction, you fix that. Or the Lord shows you, now, you know, you've been doing this, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. You need to quit doing that, you need to start doing this. And you just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And that's the way it ought to be, praise God. And the Lord will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, clean people up if they will allow it. But what happens is a lot of times is people go along and they come to church and they want to hear the deeper things, but then they're out, you know, doing things the Bible says they they shouldn't even be named among you as believers. Those things are done in the darkness by sinners. Glory to God. Well, if you don't like that point, let's move on. And then Matthew 13, verse number 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, that's hard ground. You know, I'm trying to get some grass to mix in with my weeds in my yard, you know. And you got to kind of grind it, you know, you got to rake up the yard or use some kind of hoe or something and kind of loosen up that soil. You just can't throw it on. So I'm trying to buy seed that'll grow on concrete. I really haven't found that yet, but that's, you know, I'm trying to find something that'll just grow anywhere. But so I find the best I can to pay a lot of money for it, but I still know that you got to get out there and take care of that ground before you throw the seed on and water it and so forth. But he said, that's what he's talking about, hard ground. This is he who hears the word and receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures. Everybody say endures. Endures means you keep on hearing it, you keep on believing it, you keep on acting on it. He endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The word stumble is an interesting word. In the King James it says he is offended. Offended here doesn't mean you get mad at somebody because they did you dirty, you know, and that's not what it's talking about. Offended in this case means you quit trusting something, or you quit trusting somebody and you withdraw and desert somebody that you ought to keep on trusting. So it's talking about, you see, they hear the word, they get excited about the word, they believe the word, but then because of pressure of the circumstances and because of persecution, you know, and because it doesn't look like it's working and so forth, then they quit trusting it. They ought to trust it. They ought to believe what God's word says, but they don't. They fall. They quit. They stumble, the New King James Bible says. I really like what the 21st century King James Version says. Glory to God, Sherry gave me the 21st century King James Version. Now, the 21st century King James Version very seldom ever changes a single word. It's really more about the form and the paragraph and sentence structure, which was all done by man. But on this verse, they actually change it. You know, they still say endureth and ariseth. So it says, so this it translates this way. He endureth only for a time, for when they receive the word with joy, but he endureth only for a time, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he loses faith. He loses faith. Of course, if you're going to be a doer of the word, that means you must believe what the word of God says and not believe what your senses tell you and not believe what your flesh tells you and not believe what your mind tells you, because sometimes what the word of God tells you and what your senses tell you will contradict. When that happens, you need to always go with God's word because it is the truth. It may be a natural fact that you're broke, but it is the truth that God supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when you believe the truth, it will always trump and change the natural facts. Can you say amen? Amen. And so you have faith always acts on the Word of God. It always acts like it, the Word of God is true. So this person starts out acting on the Word. They believe the Word of God, but they endure only for a while. Amen. That means they continue to act in faith, but then all of a sudden they quit acting in faith, like we just said. But why? Why do they only act for? Why are they only doers for a while? Why do they lose faith and just quit believing? Because it says of tribulation or persecution. Now, this word tribulation is an interesting word in the Greek. W.E. Vine says this word tribulation has reference to sufferings due to the pressure of the circumstances. In other words, the Word of God says you're forgiven, but your emotions scream at you that you're not forgiven and put pressure on you. The Word of God says you're healed, but your symptoms say you're sick. The Word of God says God supplies all your needs, but your checkbook, anybody's checkbook ever talk to them? Your checkbook talks to you and puts pressure on you. The Word of God says you're victorious, but everything looks like you're going under. Praise God. This is the reason people, so they get under this pressure. And so they're believing and acting on what God's Word says. But because it doesn't appear to be true or to appear to be working, glory to God, that they quit believing. So this person backs off and doesn't continue to believe and be a doer of the Word because they're walking by sight and not by faith. So a third reason people are not doers of the Word is because they're walking by sight instead of walking by faith. See, we're coming at this from a different angle this morning. They're walking by sight and not by faith. If you walk by sight, you will not be a doer of the Word. Because God's Word will tell you that you are well able to go and take the promised land, which is a type of everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. It's the promised land is a place where the promises of God come true in your life. But the walled cities and the giants and the great and mighty armies in the promised land say you cannot take this land. And so are you going to believe what God's Word says or are you going to believe what your circumstances tell you? Amen. So they're walking. So we cannot walk by sight and be a doer of the Word. To be a doer of the Word, we must walk by faith and not by sight. So many examples, but just to make the point with you this morning I want to make. You know, Jesus told the disciples, go to the other side. Well, if Jesus tells you to go to the other side, does that mean you can go to the other side? Yes. One place it says, I think he commanded them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Well, whatever he commands you to do, then you have the ability to do it. And so they love Jesus. They're following Jesus. They've given up everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the devil said, well, let's just leave them alone. They're so committed. No. As they started going to the other side, the Bible says a great, not just a little, but a great storm of sea rose up against them. It was a life-threatening storm. So even though Jesus told them to do something, they faced opposition. Glory to God. I tell you, when we first moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, you know, this is 1981. And you know, we had experienced these things, this type of thinking, this wrong thinking ourselves in the late 70s. And then begin to understand some things and grow in the Lord. But we were around a lot of people in those days. We were dealing with a lot of people that were super sold out to God. I mean, they were on fire for God. They were whole hog for God. I mean, they loved God with every fiber of their being. And we were dealing with a lot of Bible school students, former Bible school students, present day Bible school students, New Life Bible School students right here in town, you know, and person after person came to my office just in tears saying, I don't understand. We sold out to God. We're on fire for God. We're trying to do what God told us to do. And I'm telling you, we're facing all kinds of trouble and difficulty and opposition. And I thought, so? I mean, I understood because I thought the same thing myself a few years before that. But, you know, so what? God called you to, you know, God might to tell a church, I've given you that piece of land down the street. I want you to go and possess it. And you go, whoa, glory to God. And you go down there and it's $5.6 million and you don't have $5.6. Yeah, we face opposition in life. And if you're going to overcome that opposition and you're going to overcome symptoms and things that contradict the Word of God, you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. God told Israel, like I said, they could possess the promised land where they would enjoy blessings and prosperity and victory. But giants stood in the way. Walled cities stood in the way. Great armies stood in the way. When God called you to do something, when God tells you to do something, or listen, when He promises you that you can have something, He tells you to go to college. He tells you to start a business. He tells you that healing belongs to you. He tells you to add that youth center to the church building that's going to cost $3.2 million or go on a mission trip or 1,001 other things. The devil may, most likely, will challenge you and throw all kind of roadblocks in your way. And it may not look like you have what God says belongs to you. The doctors say that you're sick. Your symptoms tell you that you're sick. Your body screams at you. See, that's that pressure that he's talking about. Tribulation there means pressure, the pressure of the circumstances coming upon you. And if you listen to your senses and mental reasonings, you'll quit believing God's word and you'll quit being a doer of the word. And when you're not a doer of the word, then you're going to be shaken. You're going to fall. You're going to be defeated. And so what you have to do is the key is to learn to believe God's word over everything else by, this is how you do it, could teach you on this for 100 years, by focusing your attention on the truths of God's word and not on what your senses tell you. Joshua and Caleb came back, you know, and they said, our eyes are on the Lord. We are well able to take the promised land because God said we could. But those 12 spies came back and said, we cannot take the land. We, our eyes tell us, our senses tell us, our mind tells us, we cannot take the land. And so Joshua and Caleb were doers of the word. They believed and endured, and they both entered the promised land, those 10 spies and the whole nation under 20 years of old of the Israelites did not enter into the promised land. So how are you going to keep believing the word? You're going to focus your attention on the truths of God's word and not what your senses tell you. Amen. And like I said, you've heard this preached over and over and over again, but here's what it all boils down to. We must learn to stay. Everybody say stay.
Stay.
Not too much longer. Hang with me now. We must learn to stay in faith and not be moved by our emotions. If God says you can do all things in Christ, then you can do all things. If God says you're healed, then you are healed. If God says your needs are met, then your needs are met. If God says you're forgiven, then you are forgiven. If God tells you specifically to go do something, to buy something, then you can do it. We must learn to stay in faith and not be moved by our emotions, our feelings, our contradictory circumstances. And, listen to it a different way, we must stand against and endure opposition. You know, people always talk about open doors and always say jokingly, but I mean it 95%. Almost every door I had ever went through in ministry, I had to kick down. It wasn't open. I had to kick it down. Glory to God. By faith and using my authority and so forth. So we must learn to not waver because of contradictory circumstances and symptoms. If we don't, we will lose faith and quit being a doer of the word. And you can run around and go from one minister to the next trying to find somebody to wave some kind of magic hand over you, but you're probably not going to get anything. Because if you are a spirit-filled believer that has been taught the truths of God's word, God expects you to stand on your own two feet and get by faith what he has promised you. And gifts of the Spirit and those kind of things, they mostly work out in the world, among sinners and among people that have not been taught the truth are among baby Christians. But once you grow up a little bit, then you're going to have to use your own faith. The eternal, never-changing law of faith is, be it unto you, according to old Robert's faith. According to your faith. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I go to a lot of meetings. I enjoy going to meetings. I've had people that were dealing with different areas, whether it was physical, financial, whatever. And I would say, well, why don't you go to this meeting and just sit under the word? And they're going to teach you on healing at Rhema all week long for 5 days. Why don't you go and just hear the word and hear the word? You're not going for him to just wave some magic wand over your head. You're going to be built up in the word and to hear the word that you already know and to get strong in the word of God. Amen. But if you're just going for them because you think, well, they've just got some kind of magic wand and, you know, No. You know, even Brother Hagin, when he used to have faith and healing meetings that lasted all week long, what would he tell the sick that came in? The very first day he'd say, listen, we're going to be praying for people every night, but if you know that you're going to be here through Thursday, don't come up till Thursday night. If you're going to be here all week long, don't come up to Friday night. Allow me, let me put the word in you. Because he knew it wasn't just going to be his faith, it was going to be a combination of his faith and their faith to get them the victory. You see, so that's why he would tell them that. Amen. So you know, I'm paraphrasing, but I think this is correct from Brother Hagin. He says, this is not the general way the Lord moves in the life of a spirit-filled believer that knows the word. He expects them to rise up and use their faith and not be moved off the word. And if they don't, they will probably not receive some sort of special manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Listen, like I said, I've helped people go to some meetings, go for the right reasons. Because I've had other people go to meetings that they went to a month long to you know, meetings. And they'd come back and typically they would say, it was absolutely wonderful. It was glorious. I loved it. 2 months later, did it change anything in your life? No. Because you're going to have to learn. Every believer is going to have to learn. Sooner or later, God's going to pull out the bottle, so to speak, and every believer is going to have to stand on their own two feet and use their own faith to get what they need from God according to the Word of God. So if we waver and doubt and quit believing because of what our senses tells us or because we face opposition, then we will not be doers of the Word and we won't obtain the promises. And if we fail to act on the Word because of a lack of faith, then we are no different than a person who has never heard a single message on real Bible faith. In other words, if we don't learn to stand and not waver and to act on the Word, regardless of our senses, there's no difference. Are you listening to me? Somebody says, you're being hard-hearted. No, what's hard is not being a doer of the Word. That's what's hard. What's hard is not being a doer of the Word will lead to financial storms that you don't overcome and marital storms that you don't overcome and physical storms that you don't overcome and having your house fall in some other area. No, I'm not being hard. It's not being hard to tell people the truth that will cause you to overcome and be blessed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So these are not the only reasons people are not doers of the Word. Just three I felt impressed to deal with. You know, sometimes people are not doers of the Word because they don't accept what the Word of God says. They reject the Word of God and don't accept it in favor of some religious tradition or some idea of man. You know, Jesus said, by your traditions you make the Word of God effect. So there's other reasons. But in conclusion, let's hunger and thirst for the truth. Let's have ears to hear. Let's value God's Word. Let's honor God's Word. Let's esteem God's Word. Amen. Let's be willing to change anything in our lives that does not conform to the Word of God. Is that too much to ask for a born-again Christian that's saved from their sins and going to miss hell and go to heaven? Just simply be willing to change anything in your life that doesn't conform to His Word. And let's believe and act on what the Word says regardless of what our senses tell us. Let's believe and act on the Word of God regardless of what our mind tells us. Don't let opposition and obstacles move you off the Word. Let's be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Let's be doers of the Word and not be self-deceived. Let's be doers of the Word, for it's the doer of the Word that is blessed in every area of life and who withstands the storms of life, the trials of life that come to all of us. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Well, just lift your hands and praise God a second. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. See, I see a room full of people that have faced challenge and obstacles and opposition to doing what God called them to do. But Tony, did you ever face any obstacles going on those 60 or 70 mission trips you went on? You have no idea, he said. But you overcame, didn't you? You know why he overcame? Somebody says, because he believed the Word. Yes, but he was a doer of the Word. See, if Smith Wigglesworth, you know, great, noted for one of the greatest men of faith since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he would just run to one side of the stage and scream out and say, faith is an act. And then he would run, raise something like 27 people from the dead, run to the other side of the stage and say, faith is an act. And he'd run to the other side of the stage and say, faith is an act. And they said he would do that for 10 minutes. If you believe the Word, you act on the Word. And when you act on the Word, you get results. But it's not just faith. It's behaving the Word. Believe the Word, behave the Word, and act the Word. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Lift your hands again and praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Are you willing? Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to change anything in your life that doesn't conform to the Word? Are you willing to change anything in your life that doesn't conform to His Word? Are you willing to change anything in your life that does not conform to His Word? Because you know, are you hungry for the truth? The truth, you should know the truth, and the truth, only the truth, makes you free. And there's nothing better and sweeter than freedom. Ooh, glory to God. Amen. You know, Phil Driscoll said that, you know, because he backslid and got away from the Lord. And of course, he did drugs and got high and all that kind of stuff for a number of years. But Phil later said, he said, there's no high like the Most High. And that's the absolute truth. I remember this guy, he was a young, very young, you know, 21 years old policeman, riding around with this buddy of mine. And he goes, well, I know you're doing this Christian thing and living for the Lord, because he was an old fraternity buddy, you know, and we were the quintessential, never mind, fraternity brothers. He said, but don't you miss the old things we used to do, you know, the carousing, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, you don't understand. I found something better. What I'm doing is better. Sure, there's a part of my flesh that likes some of that, but what I'm doing, I'm not missing anything in life. What I'm enjoying in life, this, what I found is better. There's no high like the Most High, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And so we always ought to be willing to change anything in our lives that does not conform to the... Got anything in your life that you need to be willing to change? Say, Lord, I'm willing to change that. I'm willing to give up that attitude. I'm willing to give up that behavior. I'm willing to do. I know you've been asking me to do this for years. I'm willing to do it. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but have ears that understand. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Be open to the Lord. He has your best interest at heart. He's on your side. He just wants to bless you. He just wants to keep your house standing right in the midst of hell. Can you say amen? Lord, bow your heads, close your eyes, won't you, real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're like the person I was talking about that knows about church and knows about God. Everybody has bowed, every eyes closed. I'm not going to call you to the front. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that He really lived and that He died on the cross for your sins, but you never actually took Him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Anybody like that? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you to the front. Just going to pray for you. Glory to God. Or you're here this morning, you're a Christian, and you say, it's not just little bitty things in my life, you know I should be doing, but really I'm like the prodigal of old. Just in general, I'm not living for the Lord at all like I should. I know I should be, and this morning I want to get back in right fellowship with God. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we as Christians confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So if you're like the prodigal of home, the old, if that wants to come back to Father's house and be restored in your relationship with God as a believer. If that's you, nobody's looking around, lift your hand for me, please. Let me pray for you. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. I see it. Anybody want to join this? Glory to God. Now look up at me. Let's pray this. If you raise your hand, if you say it with us, if you raise your hand, agree with it in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross and was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures so that I could be saved. I believe that He is Lord. I have taken Him as my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. But I failed miserably and not walk with You as I should. But I ask You to forgive me right now and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now all of us agree with this. Say, I'm willing, Lord, to change. I'm willing to be conformed to Your image. I'm willing to give up anything that You want me to give up. I'm willing to do anything that You want me to do. I'm willing to change anything in my life to conform to Your word. Now thank Him for it and praise Him for that. Praise God, praise God. And if you lifted your hand because you said you were backslid, just go out of here knowing that you're in fellowship with God, you're right with God, your sins are in the God's sea of forgetfulness and He never brings them up again. Glory to God. And believe that the Holy Spirit helps you. You know, I've been doing this a long time and I believe I depend totally, completely upon the Holy Spirit to help me. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Well, say it with your best. Whatever. Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
to the glory of God the Father. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.